Technorama episode 309 for May 25th, 2011, Rapture Leftovers.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where's the tweet up for all the people left behind from the rapture?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for May 25th, 2011. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am funkin' delicious.
Funkin' delicious. We also have Julie-licious with us. Welcome, Julie. Your mic's on.
Oh, hi.
Usher Q.
Wow, she's been away for a while. Yeah. School is ending. She's got senioritis.
No,
and
I stayed up till 2 a.m. last night.
Oh, it was
picking bobby pins out of my
night.
Hair.
Yeah, it
what?
Was really late.
Or you, what, is the hazing already started for college?
No, Saturday night prom night.
Oh.
I had my hair done and there were 53 bobby pins in it last night.
Good Lord.
Just think what out. MacGyver could do with that.
Yeah, you were safe in any situation.
Coming up in this episode, we have a boy with a backwards leg. What to do now that you've been left behind by the rapture. And we'll tell you about Darth Vader's new night gig. All that and more coming right up.
Every year, thousands upon thousands of Martians go without podcasts. Mars needs podcasts. So this holiday season, no matter when in the year you happen to hear this promo, why don't you think about the Martians? Mars needs podcasts. Think about them by going to theweirdshow.com and subscribing. Mars needs podcasts. As soon as we've been able to establish communication with the Martians, I'll make sure to let them subscribe for free. Mars needs podcasts. Do it. For the teary-eyed little Martians at home.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
This is a team gathering. We have everybody gather around at 9:30 Eastern time for live feed and chat room, and we'd love to see you there if you happen to be around. Going to the chat room, oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, that's all I can say.
Yep.
We have Joust Gout, that would be me, Craig's Revenge, AD Frogger into Throat, Ben Vaughn, Claudio Mortal Combat, uh-oh, what's the second part of that?
Fatality,
thank you.
Yeah.
Isn't Mortal Kombat Fatality a bit redundant?
Sort of. You know, in the Dem game drop. It says, Fatality.
And Kicks Ticks. Gru, Julie, Mad Marv, Pitfall, and Can't Get Up. Samurai, Swollen Pong Tim, Tempest Fever, The Laryngitis Lemming, Will New, and ZML Creeperhead. This all comes from the fact that in the pre-show, which you want to show up prior to 9:30 Eastern and you want to listen in, the pre-show we were listening to Pac-Man Fever and said, I wonder what other video game maladies are out there. And we came up with some pretty disgusting ones that were not exactly safe for the podcast. Right, Julie?
Right.
Good. That's
some
nice.
Of them you might want to consult your doctor if you really had some of these. All the costumes are coming off. Everybody's going back to... We're not mentioning Mad Marv's suggestion here. If you missed it, you missed it. I'm sorry. But people change their handles every Sunday just to be fun. I can't think of any other podcast where we do this on a regular basis just to mess with the hosts. Because nobody else gives a shout out to the chat room. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
Show up, have some fun. Hey, looking at the birthday calendar, I missed a few since we weren't on the air last week. I apologize about that, business travel and all. We have a happy birthday to Tim Elliott on May 22nd. May 23rd is Chris Zeal, host and producer of the AVS cast and 24 Hour Under Review. Wait, there we go. Soundboard's back.
There you
26
go.
26th is Eli Yukles on. Oh boy, help me with that one. May 27th, coming up, Tanya from Dancing with Elephants. Not Tanya is Dancing with Elephants.
Well, she might be.
Oh, another one. There. Chris Martin's host of the Jesus Geeks.
They're not too happy right now.
ZNet Central and producer on The Edge of the Darkness on May 28th. And finally, Petri Lopia on May 30th. Happy birthday to everybody there. If it's your birthday also and you didn't happen to make it on the calendar, we want to wish you a happy birthday. And get your name on the calendar. Go over to the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki, and add your name. We'd be happy to give you a shout out when the proper time comes. Happy birthday. On this day in history for May 25th, 2011. It was on this date in 240 BC that saw the first recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet.
At the Nevada test site in the United States, conducted their first and only nuclear artillery test today in 1953.
On that same day, the first public television station in the United States officially begins broadcasting as KUHT from the campus of the University of Houston.
And it was also today in 1961 that U.S. President John F. Kennedy announced before a special joint session of Congress his goal to initiate the project to put a man on the moon before the end of the decade.
I think he said decade in that speech, didn't he? Oh, no, decade. That was the one at Rice.
We're going to decay before we get there.
1 year later in 1962, the last overnight steamboat service in the United States, the Old Bay Line, goes out of business.
And Explorer 32 launched on this date in 1966. That was the first precursor to the Internet Explorer.
It was May 25th, 1977, that Star Wars, retitled Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope in 1981, is released in theaters, inspiring Jediism religion and Geek Pride Day holiday.
And today, in 2001, 32-year-old Eric Weinmeier of Boulder, Colorado, becomes the first blind person to reach the summit of Mount Everest.
He said he was just going down to the corner 7-Eleven to pick a few things up and got horribly lost.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Peter Zeeman, Dutch physicist born today in 1865.
Also born today in 1889, Russian-born American aviation designer Igor Sikorsky.
Don't you know your helicopter people, man? Igor Sikorsky?
No.
German-born physicist and Nobel Prize laureate Jack Steinberger turns 90 today.
And turning 80 today is Russian cosmonaut Gorky Greco.
The great actor who played Gandalf, Magneto, and a long list of other great characters, actor Ian McKellen, turned 72.
And turning 67 today is American mathematician Robert McPherson.
Actor, director, and voice of Yoda, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Grover, and many other puppets turned 67? Also Frank does.
And finally, Slovak cosmonaut Ivan Bella celebrates his 47th birthday today.
And don't forget, May 25th is Geek Pride Day and Towel Day. Show your geek pride.
Yay.
That's the way it was on this day in history for May 25th, 2011.
Good news, anyone?
Our first story up is a story about a boy with his amputated leg intentionally reattached backwards.
Yeah. When I read this, when I saw the headline, I thought, what? Was it an accident?
The picture caught me off guard, too. I thought it was accident, too. But when Dugan Smith was 10 years old, doctor discovered a tumor the size of a softball in his right leg. He had a rare form of cancer, and he needed an operation to remove it. Instead of choosing a more standard procedure, the post-game reports this week, Smith opted for a rotationplasty because he didn't want to give up baseball. This is the quote. Dugan's lower leg would be detached, turned 180 degrees, and reattached higher. That would allow his ankle muscles and ligaments to do the job of his knee. Basically, his ankle would serve as a backwards knee. So his foot would be at the end of his thigh, and you could place it into a prosthetic and have more control over it. Now, that makes total sense, because if your leg was if he was amputated below the knee, this wouldn't have been a problem. But the tumor was up around the thigh, and he said, no, just take out the bad parts, and now his foot is on backwards, but it serves as a knee because your ankle and, your knee go the opposite directions.
And again, once I wrap my brain around, I went, oh, well, that makes so much more sense.
That's ingenious.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it'd be an easy thing, like just take off the leg, turn it around. You'd have to attach a lot of like tendons and
veins and things that are all backwards and disconnected. But hey, you know, if you're feeding the tissue, I don't know what kind of nerve sensation he's got. It might be a little numb.
Or does his foot grow as he grows?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
His other foot's going to grow.
Well.
Looks like there's some scarring on his left leg, too. So they may have taken tissue or something from there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I saw a video of him actually playing. He was out playing baseball. I think he was pitching and stuff. And so he was like, he had a slight limp, but he was doing great. So
that's awesome. That's
fantastic.
Kudos to him for wanting to play baseball so bad he's willing to turn his
leg around. I know cancer and everything. It has to be a tough call to remove your leg.
Yep. All right, we've had unicorn meat, and we know that was a lot of fun on ThinkGeek.com. Well, now there's, of course, lab-grown meat.
I want...
Are you tagging the dislike button already?
Yeah. Where's it at? I'm looking for it. Where is it at?
The lab meat?
No, the dislike button.
In this week's New Yorker, Michael Spector takes a great look at the world of in vitro meat grown in a lab outside the animal body. It's not a matter of if, but when. Will you eat it? One of the pioneering figures in this field, Willem van Eelen, dreamed up many of the techniques used today, which rely on cell cultures to foster growth. You know, if they can grow an ear or something, sure, why not?
I don't want to eat an ear.
No. Many are excited about the prospect of lab-grown meat for various reasons. It could be more efficient than raising and slaughtering animals. It could be healthier than sickly animals used whose bodies are chock full of pathogens and antibiotics. It could finally make PETA STFU.
Hey, by the way, there is one problem that is undocumented. That's the lab-grown beef still tastes like chicken.
Everything tastes like chicken. It's part of the Matrix.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I don't think I like that. That looks like the picture that's with this looks like a bull in milk or something.
I thought it was a sheep or something. It's a lamb. Maybe it is a steer. I don't know. It looks like it's made out of like squeeze paste or something.
In milk. Yeah, it looks like milk or something.
The initial cells are typically taken from a mouse. Mouse, it's what's for dinner. The Dutch have also focused on pork stem cells because pigs are readily available to them.
So they got to still use animals.
Right, right. Okay. But you don't have to grow the whole animal and slaughter it and have a whole bunch of waste and whatnot. They're reclaimed from eggs discarded at slaughterhouses or taken from biopsies. Researchers then submerge these cells into amino acids, sugars, and minerals. Generally, the mixture consists of fetal serum taken from calves. After the cells age, Van der Schaft and her colleagues place them on biodegradable scaffolds. It is much like growing an organ or something. Hmm. We were talking to Dr. Kaku about that kind of thing.
That's right. Yep.
Only these you can eat. Fresh liver. Whose was it? That tissue can then be fused and formed into meat that can be processed as if it were ground beef or pork. Well, you know, if you grind it up, hey, at least you know you're not getting lips and things in there.
Well, actually, you know what I kept thinking of is, you know, stuff like this, you'd order or you go buy it in a can, like deviled ham or
spam.
Yeah.
It's stem spam lamb.
Now, if they make some, you know, pork I can shred, make barbecue, then we can talk.
Hey, cats, dogs, you name it. Why not?
Cats, dogs.
Different cultures, different foods.
This was on Eureka, wasn't it? Except it made everybody stupid.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Wouldn't that be ironic if they had predicted the future?
You know what? I think something else is in the food that's actually doing that now.
NCAP says, stem, spam, baked beans, stem, spam.
Yeah.
Fact behind the fiction right there, people. Remember that for next year's Parsec Awards. You heard it here first. Why doesn't anybody else carry this news? I don't know.
Hey, by the way, why don't they hack it and make like chick beef?
Chick-fil-A.
Mix it up, you know, like somewhat lamb and beef together.
I think even people who will eat anything draw the line somewhere.
Really?
Hey, what's gross to you is not, you know, different people, different cultures.
It's true.
Hey,
it's true.
Cheese is spoiled milk.
I'll tell you, here in the South, yeah, I don't know, you can get it in other places too, I know, but I'll get liver mush, which isn't actually liver mush. It's not liver, but a lot of people go, ugh, but it, to me, I love it. You know, it's kind of like sausage in a way.
Braunschweiger, liver pate, same kind of thing.
It's good stuff.
All right, wrap me up the Hacks and Strange Stories here, Lenny.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
Was he okay?
He stepped in. He's wearing the, you know, the gold chains and stuff earlier this week, and he wanted to rap. I don't know.
I thought he needed the Heimlich or something.
Or if he has
first up in the Hacks and Strange Stories, we've got half Volkswagen bus, half Stew to Baker tank. Oh, hey,
pop him on the back to break his thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Boom, boom, boom. Now then you get a beatbox. Boom,
boom, boom, boom. Hacks and Strange Stories.
Okay.
Have you ever always wanted a tank that looked like a Volkswagen bus?
Yes.
We didn't either. That is, of course, until we saw pictures of this one.
Holy
Who
cow.
Who would have thought the combination of a 1945 Studebaker Weasel tank and the bay window Volkswagen bus would work so well together? Currently for sale at a car dealer in California, we are left with a lot of questions about the creation of the bus tank and no answer. We do know that the bus tank underneath in the picture that we show on the video stream is a 1945 Studebaker Weasel, originally built to do battle in World War II. The Weasel is powered by a 70-horsepower, 196-cubic-inch L-head inline six. The straight six can power the tank at a top speed of 35 miles per hour. Wow, I want to see one of these rolling down the street. This could go right in that library of Hacks and Strange Stories.
I'm just thinking, you know, somewhere around here, you know, the Volkswagen, especially the microbus, was like hippie love and everything. And then they got the tank aspect here. So it's kind of
it's like the martial law
thing
hippies.
I was talking
war
about a minute ago.
And peace.
It's yeah, it's the dichotomy thing.
It's an unholy
good,
union.
Julie.
It's an unholy union.
It is. It's a war and peace thing. They're very.
This is the first sign of the rapture.
Oh, you mentioned that the failed rapture? No, it wasn't failed, but there were only three people taken, and no one's going to miss them.
I know. I was
we
at church thinking,
the rejects
I
that
hope we're on
behind.
The right path here, because we're all here, and
yep,
we all showed up.
Speaking of the rapture, our next story is a bad sign of the times. It's actually, there it is. There's a card that was delivered. You know, kind of like those delivery cards where you weren't around for delivery of a package that says, sorry, and it's got the little fish that says Deus. We tried to rapture you on May 21st, 2011, is written into the dotted line. But we were unsuccessful as you were, here are the checkbox choices, animal, heathen, atheist, scientist, sinner, other. Okay, sinner is checked off and says, please fill in the details. Someone writes, wizard, Leviticus 20:27. We will attempt another rapture on December 21st, 2012.
Yeah. You can send in a letter as an appeal and take 60 days to hear back from them.
The caption says, damn me and my wizarding ways.
As he shakes a fist in the sky.
All right. And in case you weren't picked up and you still want to get there, don't forget you can always buy yourself the Rapture Jetpack.
That's like the Rocketeer on there.
I think it is. The sign was posted on a pole in the city with like one of those car for sale kind of things with the pull-off tabs.
Yeah.
It says, God don't want you in heaven? Get there yourself. The Rapture Jetpack. When the end times come on May 21st, what if you're not one of the chosen people to ascend into heaven when Christ returns? With the Rapture Jetpack, eternal paradise is just a button push and a burst of fuel away. And the Rapture Jetpack can be yours for the one-time fee of $50,000 US. What is it, money-back guarantee if you're not successful?
Yeah, right.
And there's got a phone number on here. Get yours today. Hurry while supplies last.
Hey, let's call it. Call it. Call and it with Skype and let's see what it says.
So, how did sales go?
You're right. Actually, I figured there was a lot of electronic devices, you know, for sale cheap, you know, on Friday.
Yeah. What's eBay got for sale?
Yeah. Auction ends on midnight Friday.
Yeah. Buy it now. All right, you added one in here about a bionic hand for elective amputation. Yeah.
Again, this is one of those titles I went, what? And I had to go look at it because the title says bionic hand for elective amputation patient.
Elective amputation. Would you get elective?
Well, I first want, who in the world is going to electively remove their hand? But
somebody did.
It's because they had no use of their hand. Something happened. They had an accident or something.
Okay.
So the hand was intact in the sense that it was, you know, attached, but maybe like nerve damage or something.
Okay. Huh?
Maybe it's nerve damage or something, you know, and it didn't work. So what they did was they amputated it and but they did it in a way where they could attach an electronic hand, you know, make it work and, you know, get some use out of it. And there's a video of a kid on here. It's remarkable. He was picking up a bottle, like a Coke bottle or something, and he poured himself a drink and picked up the glass. And sure, it was a little bit slow, but it was working. It was fantastic. I couldn't believe. It's like the second video on that page.
Hmm.
And the hand's very small. It has a couple sensors in the index finger and the middle finger and a thumb. And he was able to pick up stuff, and it was amazing. I think if I remember right, it showed him pick up something very small off the table too. So. Very dexterous, I guess. Is that a word?
Dexterous.
Yeah, that too. That. But anyway, it was very cool and an interesting story. But yeah, at first I was like, who in the, you know, I want a robotic hand, but I'm not removing something for one.
Right. But if it was, you know, irreparably damaged, that might be something to consider.
Yeah. So it's very cool.
I'd give my left arm to be ambidextrous.
Yeah.
All right. A little late than never.
I don't think it deserved the rim shot. Go ahead.
Oh, burn. All right. Remember when?
Yes.
Where's my remember when bumper?
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Technorama remembers a lot of things, like the days before websites. Well, the days before websites.
There were websites.
There were. It's the newspapers would go and post, well, basically big pages on the street corner or any high traffic area where they knew people congregated. And the Boston Globe was notorious for doing this. They have some archival pictures. I'll just read a little quick here. Long before the web, the Boston Globe had a homepage of sorts. Its old storefront downtown, taking advantage of its location and heavily trafficked block of Newspaper Row, the Young Daily brought the news to Bostonians in a whole new way, handwritten signs. Today, the newsroom's digital staff rushes stories to Boston.com and parcels them out on various sections of the homepage. The up box, the center well, the inside box. A big story can mean a custom layout. Ads fill the spots and dots between the headlines. But this isn't the first time the paper has tried it for free. Tried a free real-time ad-supported product. From at least the turn of the century until the 1950s, Globe staff shuttled back and forth throughout the day from newsroom to the street. There, they wrote breaking news headlines and sports scores on four blackboards and two enormous sheets of newsprint behind the Globe's windows, ads. And if you go down here, you can see there's a huge crowd gathered around various sections, apparently for larger news stories. Who knows, some election or something. Oh, here we go. In the days before radio, fans crowded Newspaper Row, a section of Washington Street downtown, to follow big games on the Globe scoreboard. Hundreds watched the Red Sox beat New York Giants 4-3 in the 1912 World Series. photo dated October 18th, 1912.
Hey, what's funny is you're looking at it, I was like, how did they watch it? And I'm looking for the how they did that. But there's a guy up there that's got a scoreboard, you know, type grid, and he's filling in the scores. It's like, that's really cool. I mean, it's just, except for being very localized, it is just like a website, really. Except
the Globe progressed to a two-blackboard layout for baseball and added loudspeakers. A crowd listened to the play-by-play of the 1925 World Series.
Ooh. Hey, there's one picture down below, and there's a map. Like, that's early Google Maps.
This guy's on ice skates. What's up with that?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out what that was.
Early Google Maps. Yeah. You are here. In the weeks after D-Day, a giant map of Europe dominated the storefront. Look, we're moving the borders around in real time.
In real time. Yeah, they have a guy out there just pulls the piece of yarn off and
President
redoesn't.
Dies.
Big checkboard that's a chalkboard. A guy writes, President dies. Globe staffer updated the storefront blackboard with the news of FDR's death.
This is very interesting. I had no idea that they actually did this kind of thing, but you know,
I didn't either.
It makes total sense.
Yeah. If you don't have radio, you don't have just TV, internet.
Well, they even did this into the 60s, the day of John F. Kennedy's assassination. A crowd gathered to read updates taped inside the Globe's in-town office window.
The undecided said, resident dies.
Resident.
The piece off to the side.
President dies. Which president? The one that's
right.
90 years old?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you clarify that? Let's search.
Certain. Clarify the search. Narrow your search results. 25 pages found. Ooh, narrow that down for me. I can't read that much.
I like the guys looking in the storefront at the ticker tape. The printer. It's like some kind of printer there, printing paper, and they're reading it as it's going up the screen or the window.
Yeah, ticker tape.
I imagine this is what early computers look like. There's the glass. There's the user on the other side.
RSS feeds had a whole different meaning back then.
RSS feeds.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Media Corner right after this.
Geek Thoughts.
WikiLeaks? Sounds like it requires adult undergarments.
There are only two certainties in the universe. They are one and zero. One of them might be Craig. The other may be Chuck. Together they form Binary Code and Technorama.
Hey, this is Neil Grayson. I play Douglas Fargo on Eureka, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
In the Media Corner. Now, when I say Admiral Akbar, what's the first thing you think of?
Long John Silver's.
No, what's his tagline? What does everybody knows the line from Akbar. What does he say?
It's a trap.
It's a trap, right. So if you were going to produce anything with his name on it, what would it be?
It's a trap.
That's right. So, when I saw this come up, it's the Admiral brand animal traps. It's a mouse trap, right? Or a rat trap, or any other kind of trap. I thought this was brilliant, and I think somebody should actually do this, except Lucas would probably sue the pants off of him.
It says it's manufactured in...
Mon Calamari. That's the planet he's from.
I never heard that before, but that is a brilliant name. I think that's funny.
Oh, you hadn't heard that before?
I didn't know he was from Mon Calamari.
They mention it in the prequel movies, some, and I think in the Clone Wars, the cartoon especially.
I was just reading the one and only comment. It says, this trap is defective. It has no trigger. There's no treadle on this thing.
Oops.
It's a defective trap.
No, it's one of those things where somebody buys it and tries to set it.
They just keep getting their fingers.
Ow, this thing sucks.
Ow, it's a trap.
Gosh, this thing sucks.
It's a crap.
Yeah. And not that, you know, they don't have it pictured, but they do have a bear trap as well.
Oh, nice. I couldn't resist that. We can't pass up having fun with Akbar, right?
That's right.
All right. Also on the Star Wars, we got a couple, three Star Wars things. Wow. In the media corner. What an oddity. Also in Star Wars, if you haven't seen this, you must. This is beyond belief. Julie was just sitting there giving me a WFT moment through the whole video. Darth Vader at a senior home, entertaining them with the trombone and dancing salsa.
What's this now?
It's amateur hour on the Death Star.
You will cheer for the man in black.
It's a strange video. He comes out and you hear him playing on the trombone. Bum, 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 ba-dum. First of all, how does Vader play the trombone was my first question. And Julie's also saying, how does he play that thing? But he's playing the trombone. At first, I thought it was just overdubbed. But no, he's playing that thing because he plays it badly towards the end.
What link are you talking about?
Death Star Amateur Hour. You will cheer.
I'm sorry.
It's a YouTube video.
Okay.
The people in the audience look completely oblivious. So he's just going up, and about a minute and a half into this thing, he starts dancing this salsa dance. And watching Vader dance the salsa, carrying her on a trombone, and every once in a while, wah, 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 wah. He starts playing this thing. It just goes from bad to worse, to really bad. There's one lady kind of in the foreground off to the side dancing, and that's about all the reaction you see from the audience.
But to that I say, at that age, you've seen just about everything.
Really?
It's nothing new.
They did this in 43.
Yeah. I was in World War II and I...
Dancing Darth Vader with a trombone, nothing new.
It's an old vaudeville act.
Move along, move along.
Jack Benny was doing this with his violin.
Hey, Darth Vader's got some moves, I'm telling you.
And finally, I don't know if you remember the Jabba the Hutt scene where they go into, they're in Jabba's lair.
Yeah.
And you see the band start playing.
Yeah.
Well, they changed the song. In the original, there was a song called Lapty Neck. It was kind of a disco song.
Yes.
I had it here, but I don't have it available to play immediately. Well, in 97, I think it was, when they came out with the first DVDs and things, they released it. They changed it. It was more of a jazz thing, and they CGI'd the characters in.
Well, when they did the re-release in the early 90s with the updated versions of Star Wars in the theater. Yeah. Yeah, that's when they added that whole song and dance routine. That crap.
Yeah, with the
big lip guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But Lapty Neck
Snoodles
will not be in the Blu-ray edition also.
It won't?
No. Star Wars has given us many great musical inspirations, including John Williams' timeless score. But the weirdest tune from Star Wars might well be Lapty Neck, the song Lucasfilm tried to turn into a major dance pop hit. It actually did take off in Thailand. It was on the charts for a while.
David Hasselhoff sang it.
If you saw Return of the Jedi in its original release, you heard Lapty Neck. It's the jam and dance song that was played by Jabba the Hutt's throne room early in the film, before Luke Skywalker shows up.
Mm-hmm.
It's being performed by a weird creature with very long snout, ending in bright red kissy lips. Yes. The singer's name is Cy Snoodles, who has recently gotten a more fleshed out backstory in Clone Wars. I hadn't seen that. I gotta watch that for that. The lyrics are in Huttese, but Lapty Neck roughly translates into work it out. And there's a video of how it appeared in the original video. The special edition of Return of the Jedi, released in 97, removes the song Lapty Neck from the soundtrack and replaces it with a less dancey, more bluesy musical number called Jedi Rocks. And Cy Snoodles is suddenly all computer animated and apparently won't be.
Is that what I'm thinking about? That's what I was saying, what the guy is.
Yeah,
they're not up even on the putting, screen with his saliva in his mouth.
Yeah. But Cy is still singing along.
Yes.
And
yes.
The blue elephant dude is playing there too. But it's completely changed.
What is that blue elephant dude?
What's his name?
The blue one?
Yeah.
No, that I don't know. I knew Cy Snoodles.
No, I know it because somebody had a parody of that and they said all his greatest hits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Max Rebo. That's it. The Max Rebo Band.
You know what? That does make sense. Yes.
Yep. It's Max Rebo and his greatest hits. And he's got him jamming away on this little round keyboard thing.
So that one, that song is not going to show up, right?
No, it's not even in the special edition. They took it out completely. I mean, in the special features.
I wish he quit screwing with this stuff, because now it's gotten so convoluted. I don't know what I'm supposed to be watching. I just want the originals, you know? Leave it alone, yeah. Please.
Some of the enhancements were nice. So when they first get into Mos Eisley's and seeing, you know, more creatures roaming around and whatnot, that was kind of fun.
Well, you know, sort of, but that's the kind of crap I don't like. I mean, you know, where that little creature is hitting, you know, it's like, what does this have to do with any of the scene? You see the land speeder going off, they're going towards the cantina, and it's like hitting, the little creature off to the side hits a thing, and a Jawa swinging off a one of those big long walker creatures. I'm like, what is this guy? It's just eye candy. It's thrown.
Yeah, it was eye candy.
Yeah,
it was because he had a bigger budget to go back and fix it up.
But it's, to me, it's like, it's just eye candy for the sake of eye candy. It didn't need it. Well, it's distraction.
Most of Star Wars was eye candy, dude.
No.
Admit it.
I disagree.
You went for the eye candy.
I did not.
When you were a kid, you were there because it was a cool movie to watch.
No.
It wasn't for the acting and the dialogue. Come on.
No. Yeah. Yeah, Oscar-level quality there. No, I went. I had no idea what Star Wars was. And my parents took me and my brother on their... It was an anniversary, so we all had an outing. And they took us to go see Star Wars. And, of course, my life changed. Lightsabers, yes, eye candy. But I'm talking about all this little stuff, distraction. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Like Claudio says in the chat room, Leia in the slave outfit, serious eye candy.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
I mean, okay.
Good stuff,
hey, I'm not above eye candy, but, you know, I'm just saying distraction. I'm talking about distractions here.
All right, I'm going to skip over this one real quick.
It was a distraction, you know, most of my teenage years. Never mind.
This is a not safe for work. I'm not going to play any of it, but if you want to have some fun, there's a Star Trek overdubbed Next Generation where... It's like they're reading the lips and they put in words that fit with the lips, but the words don't go with any dialogue.
Hey, I think you skipped over something.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Geek Library. Yes. When you gotta go, make it a game.
Yeah. When you gotta go, make it a game. Or hey, go
we
on
have
a game.
A urinal constructed completely of Super NES.
Why?
Why not?
Hey, if you have to ask why,
that's right.
You won't get it.
It wouldn't be Technorama without stuff like this.
Although I saw a close-up shot of the urinal in use, and I'm like, that's just gross.
So when people ask you what's Technorama all about, use this as one of your examples. What other podcast covers urinals made out of Super Nintendo Entertainment Systems? That's right, only this one.
Hey, what was sad, what scared me was it said, custom-made SNES urinal pick plus video.
We don't need the video. No. All right, then we'll skip over the Star Trek one. I mean, Wesley is talking to Captain Picard, and he says, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, butterscotch. And you're like, that looks like really what he said. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, butterscotch. But there's a lot of swearing and stuff, so I'm not going to play any of that on here. The dialogue between him and Data is pretty rough, too, but it's funny. It's funny to watch. Like, Wesley says, can I have a promotion? And Picard just looks at him. Of course, the voices are all off. He just looks at him and goes,
oh. Yeah.
And then Wesley goes, jerk.
Jerk. Jerk. That's funny.
Craig sticks in one here on the last minute. Here comes the food truck.
Go pull it up.
Hammond Tree's Grillenium Falcon. Gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches. Homemade soups. It's written in that Star Wars font, but that is an awesome paint job.
Grilled cheese sandwich is cut in the shape of a Millennium Falcon on the side of the truck.
Let me get this on the still cam. I didn't have a chance to copy and paste the picture, so we'll just expand the desktop. Here we go. Yeah.
Hey, kid, it's crunchy, but it's got it where it counts.
You still driving that old hunk of junk?
Yeah. It's crunchy, but it got it where it counts, kid.
I won this truck fair and square. That takes us to the end. Hey, no ranting or anything this time. How about that?
Yeah, well, we still got time.
Julie, have fun?
Oh, yeah.
She's yawning. Yeah, good time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good time was had by all. Yeah. Darn.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to have to bring Harrison in here. He's been begging to get on the show.
Hook up a second mic. Bring him in.
I'll do it soon. I do have an extra mic he can have.
That brings us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you like to... Who's scrolling on me? Stop that.
Oh, sorry.
If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428.
Send your comments to technorama at chuckchat.com.
You can do that also. Or you can do this.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
I love having the soundboard back. It's a whole lot of fun. You can follow us on Twitter, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. Whoa. What?
How do you have the soundboard back?
I bought an iPad 2 this week.
You got one. Finally.
I did got one. Yes.
So how do you like it so far?
So far, so good.
Yeah? Okay.
Nice and thin. Nice and light. It appears that reloading this thing seriously fixed the soundboard app, and they've upgraded it since I used it a couple months ago. So things are good.
I should go check it out.
Things are really good. You can now put pictures on the buttons.
Oh, nice.
I haven't done that yet, but it'll be a lot easier to see a picture.
It still has all the same errors, but it has pictures now, so he's distracted.
Right. Shiny.
Yeah.
That's what this show is all about, right?
Yes, right.
Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content during the week. Hey, check out the blog. We've been putting in TV and movie reviews and all kinds of other good things. Audiobooks coming soon. We're always looking to add content. If you've got any special requests, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday night, and our chat room provided by ThinStack.net. We appreciate all of that very, very much. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. They take care of all of our hosting, so when you download a file, you know you got it from them. If you're still getting the show by clicking on the link on the old website, hey, consider subscribing for free and get the show automatically delivered to you as they come out. Drop either one of us an email if you'd like to find out more information. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, binary high five.
101, y'all.
It's over!